Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin B'tochen, Shin number 25. We're middle of Perek Revi. And now we're going to talk about B'tochen in regards to taking risks. And he says, V'cheinein roi l'adam l'ikonis b'sakonai. So it's not proper for a person to expose themselves to danger, like running across the street against traffic. B'tochen y'agzeres abayre, and he says he relies on Hashem's decree that he's going to live a set period of time. V'yishta sami amavis. And or he would drink poisons, that it's saying, if I'm going to live, Abitachin, I'm going to live. Or he needlessly endangers himself, goes into forests, fighting with wild animals. Now, who told him to take such risks? Who told him to show that he's not afraid of an animal? What, is he testing Hashem? He can't use Abitachin this way. Or throw himself into a sea or into a fire, or similar situations where the safety cannot be ensured. So if he dies as a result of this behavior, he's killing himself. Don't test him like you test him in Masa. So everything does go according to Hashem's decree. But Hashem still requires a person to do what's necessary, whether it's for their livelihood, whether it's for their physical health, whether it's for their spiritual health, to exert themselves. To see, to do that and not leave it to Hashem. And don't say that if Hashem is with me, he'll help me anyhow. But at the same, so you're not allowed to do that. You have to do what you have to do. And even with that, say, it's Hashem. But you have to do what you have to do. It says if a person puts himself into danger, one out of two things are going to happen. Either he'll die or he will live. And either he'll be killed or he'll survive. If he gets killed, it's his own responsibility. Hashem will hold him accountable for shedding his own blood. A person has to survive. He has a chiyuv to guard his own life. If he takes his own life purposefully like this in a reckless way, that's murder. We're not talking about now depression, mental illness. That's a separate subject, which we're not going into now. We're talking about someone who recklessly, purposefully puts themselves in danger. And even if he survives, it's going to cost him a lot of his chusim, because he should not have done that. He's not supposed to depend on miracles. Person's supposed to watch himself in places of danger. If he dies, then he killed himself. And he'll be charged as if he killed someone else. Even though his dying is, bottom line, it is Hashem's decree. It's by his authority. Hashem let it happen. But he puts it in nature that way. You'll be responsible. It says, he can't cause even unintentional killing. That's the idea of washing your hands before you eat food, or closing windows or guard windows if you have little children, so they should not fall out of the window. Those type of things. The chalasha yeh hamum is karev al hamemes. And the closer relationship between the victim and the murderer is a greater punishment. Someone kills his own brother, for example. It's much worse than killing a stranger. Like it says in Amos, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, he'll get punished for pursuing his brother with a sword and holding back his pity. Someone causes his own death. Yeah, we're not talking about extreme mental illness and things like that. We're talking about purposefully and recklessly. It's similar to a servant. To a servant whose master ordered him to stand guard and to watch a certain place for a certain amount of time. And he warned him not to leave his post until someone relieves him. And the agent, the servant saw that the agent was left. So the servant left. And the master got very angry at his servant and punished him severely. Why are you leaving your post? Someone takes his own life by not protecting it from harm. Yoytze Mavodis Elakim, he leaves his post of service of Hashem, Elham Roysei Bikonseis Bekasanas Amavis, by rebelling against him and placing himself into danger. You see this example regarding Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi was instructed by Hashem to anoint David. Shaul sinned, the story with Amalek, letting them survive, and Shmuel was told to anoint David HaMelech. And Shmuel was worried. He was worried. And he told Hashem, you know, how can I do that? If Shaul hears what I'm doing, anointing another king, he will kill me. And that's a strange statement from Shmuel. Hashem himself told him to go. That's a tzivoy. Why did Shmuel even bring up the possibility that it would be dangerous for him? But instead of rebuking Shmuel, this is interesting. Normally Hashem, you know, you see when Moshe refused the shlichus, Hashem answered back, you know, and was pushing him. Over here, Shmuel asked, you know, how could I do this? You tell me to anoint David, Shaul will kill me. And Hashem doesn't rebuke him, doesn't give him mussar, doesn't get upset, but tells him, you know, you're right, you're concerned. So to reduce the risk, tell the people that you're going to David's town to offer a karbanis for David's family, you know, and so on and so forth. And he arrived in that town and he quietly took the oil out, anointed David. He did it very secretively. So what do you see from here? When Shmuel resisted Hashem's command because he was afraid in this situation, because it was a real danger, Shaul was the official king, Hashem accepted his objection, gave him a suggestion to avoid arousing Shaul's suspicions. How can I go? Shaul will hear and he will kill me. And it's not considered a lack of betach in Hashem. Rather, Hashem's answer to him was that Shmuel's weariness and cautiousness in this case was praiseworthy. And Hashem said, take a calf and say, Lizbayach Lashem Basi, came to slaughter an animal for Hashem, Bashar Inyan, the rest of the narrative. So Hashem told Shmuel, yeah, don't mention anything about anointing David. Keep it quiet. Go to Beis Lechem, bring a carbon for the family of Yishai. No one will know what his real purpose was. If Shmuel's concern showed a lack of betachin, then Hashem would answer differently. Then Hashem would have said, what do you mean? Hashem, ani yom ezamachia. I put people to death. I bring them to life. Machatzti, I wound them. Ani erpa, I'll heal them. He said something like that. Like he said to Moshe, when he refused the shlichus, how could I be a prophet for them? I'm not able to speak. Over there, Moshe said, I'm heavy with mouth and speech. I can't talk. Hashem responded there, who made a mouth for man? Who made him dumb? I will be with you. So Hashem told Moshe to go and speak to people anyhow. Because in that case, it was not a matter of personal danger. I guess it was assessed that way. So Moshe didn't accept his concern. I'll make you capable of speaking. Don't worry about it. But in case of Shmuel, where it was personal danger, Hashem agreed. Yeah, Shmuel, you're right. Let's do it in a tevedika way. We see from here that if doing a mitzvah puts you in bodily danger, you have to find a way that it does not endanger yourself, or don't do the mitzvah. The risk of death outweighs the urgency of almost all mitzvahs, except the major three cardinal sins that we talked about. Over here, Shmuel was not told to jump off a cliff. He was going to anoint David. There was only a possibility of him being killed, but it was enough of a reason to be excused from exposing himself to the risk. Then Shmuel in his perfect righteousness, did not allow himself to enter into small risk of danger. Even though it was initially a command from Hashem, when it says by in Sefer Shmuel, fill your horn with oil and go and anoint Yishai, the son of one of the sons of Yishai from Beis Lechem, even in a minor circumstance of danger, it wasn't so evident, he wasn't told to risk his neck. Now, you have the other way around by Avraham Avinu, who was commanded to slaughter Yitzchak in his mind, right? Valeyu, he thought it means to shecht. There was no way out. But over here, Shmuel is not commanded to kill himself. So he could object, how can I go? Shaul may kill me. And Hashem agreed and said, do it in a way that Shaul wouldn't know. Certainly, it would be shameful for anyone to put himself into danger. So this is regarding mitzvahs. Certainly, if it's not a mitzvah, just doing things in a secular way, you know, in your regular chul in life, in your regular life, to put yourself in danger is a chet. One needs to be protected and watch themselves. Now, the Masil Shisharim incidentally talks about that doesn't mean, oh, it's cold outside or it's a little rainy, there's a little ice, I'm not going to go to shul because it's a sakana. You don't say that. That's not called shricha zeika. You put on a coat, you put on boots, you're careful. Now, if you're an elderly person and you're not steady on your feet, that's a different story. So each one according to their own. But if it's a clear danger, then you have to protect yourself. So that's one concept. Either he'll die and he'll be responsible for his death if he acts recklessly. Or he may be saved with the help of Hashem. He'll lose his merit and his reward. He should not be in a place of danger. And say, I'm not afraid Hashem will do a miracle for me. Hashem ain't nice and loynes. Maybe they won't do a miracle for him. Maybe Hashem won't do a miracle for him. They might say loynes. And even if Hashem makes a miracle and allows him to survive, menachin loy mischuyos, they'll deduct from his merits. I was too small for all the kindnesses. My merits were diminished from all the kindness and all the good. It's like it says about life and death. So we say in requirement of looking for one's health, and food, and clothing, and shelter, and good character traits, and to avoid the opposite character traits. Right? A person can't say, oh, I trust you, Hashem. You'll teach me to be patient. You'll teach me not to be angry. No, you have to work on yourself. In Bere Emunasai, despite the clarity of belief, despite knowing that Hashem runs everything, you have to do everything you can to take care of your needs, to take care of your safety, and take care of your own midais. To take care of your own midais. Like a farmer, he has to plow the earth. Clear out the thorns and weeds. Lazari, he has to sow it. And give it irrigating, in case there's no rain, he has to himself get water and irrigate it. Then he has to trust Hashem, to make it grow, to protect it from mishap, so it increases its yield, and that he trusts that Hashem will give him its blessing. But you can't, you have no right to leave the earth untilled, unsown. You can't say, oh Hashem, grow weed here, and you don't plant. You can't do that. Hashem doesn't create the world that way. He wants you to do your work. This is the difficult part of betachin sometimes, because you do all your work, and despite your work, you trust it's Hashem that's making things happen. So it's like you're contradicting yourself. On one hand, you're trusting in Hashem entirely, and yet you're not relying on that trust because you're doing it yourself. Right, so this is why betochen is not always an easy mitzvah, because we're asked to do two contradictory things. Hashem does not want us to sit back; He needs us to do things, but not rely on those things we are doing. You know, you're sitting in your office all day long, 9 to 5, whatever it is, trying to make a living. You need to work hard. You need to do advertising. You need to please your customers. You need to work, and yet after all that, Hashem is doing it for me. It's not me. That is harder to do. But that's our avodah in betochen. V'chein balam melocha, v'ascher, v'aschilas, so too with tailors and craftsmen and businessmen. Mitzuyin l'chazal tefter b'hem. They have to seek their livelihood. Im ha'bitochen b'lakim ki ha'ter b'yadi v'shusay. At the same time, trust Hashem, knowing that their livelihood is within Hashem's power and Hashem's control. V'shu'ar b'ylo adam ha'shlim b'y v'yizir si b'she yirtza. And he guarantees that each man is with his livelihood. Don't think that the means you're employing, that is what's causing him harm or good. This is the hard part. You see the results. Don't rely. You got bread. After plowing and reaping and sowing and baking, you got your own bread. And nevertheless, it's Hashem that gave you the bread. The yismach ba, be happy. The yaisel hachzik ba v'yatli ba'yelah, and rejoice in it. Ki yechlash b'bitchayin b'elikav. But without weakening the trust in Hashem. You should not think that his effort will help him any more than he is already determined by Hashem. And he should not find joy by devoting himself in the extra effort. Thank Hashem that he provided livelihood after his toil, and his labor was not for nothing. Like it says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you are fortunate. It's fortunate and good for you. So this is the tricky part. We'll end off over here, one last line. From Echad Min HaChasidim, one of the pious people once said, Ani Tameh, I'm surprised, when someone gives this fellow man that which Hashem decreed, but he reminds him of the favor he did for him, and he expected to be thanked for it. Meaning, does it make sense to expect thanks for a gift that Hashem instructed you to give? Now, of course, you should say thank you. That's Hakaras HaTov, it's Menschlichkeit. But you're being tested with this hard test of bitachin to recognize Hashem is the one that did it. All mankind needs to do this. This is Ben Noach too. Hashem provides everything. We have to work. We have to do our part because Hashem told us we do our part. But after we do our part, who is the one who is in charge, who gave us everything? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this complex contradiction of working hard, protecting yourself from dangers, doing everything you need to do because Hashem wants it. And at the same time, to turn to Hashem and recognize it's not my efforts that did the bracha. It's Hashem himself giving me the bracha. And my ishtadlus did nothing. It was just a keli. That takes avoid and that takes work, but we're able to, as Hashem, achieve that. Bracha v'atzlacha.